The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, joining me for this week's Inside Hollywood, Lisa Cannon, podcaster and cultural commentator. Lisa, good morning.
Good morning and happy Christmas to you, because we're taking a sleigh ride down memory lane this morning.
Now, you've chosen a few classic movies.
I have indeed, because I think everybody loves their favourite movies at Christmas, but not everybody revisits the classic Christmas movies that never get old. These movies have a magical way of capturing kind of the holiday spirit, but there's something extra special, I think, about the classics. So don't just think black and white movies. I mean, obviously, we're going to go back to 1946 with It's a Wonderful Life, but Why Christmas is one of the most special movies as well, and we've loads of clips today just to really get everybody into the festive spirit. But I think these films, they're kind of timeless, they've been passed down through generations, and I think they just bring joy and nostalgia.
Now, some people will not have seen It's a Wonderful Life. It's black and white, all right. Now tell me the story.
Okay, well, it's a story about second chances and the impact one life can have on others, and it stars the great Jimmy Stewart as George Bailey, and it's a masterpiece directed by Frank Capra, which tells the story of George Bailey, who learns the value of his life after being shown how the world would look without him. I'm sure everybody knows this classic tale, but it's very heartwarming. It's all about hope, redemption, and the importance of community.
Now, it wasn't a big success on release.
No, it actually became a staple thanks to, you know, constant replays on television back in the 1970s. But it ranks as one of the most important and greatest Christmas films of all time in all the polls and the surveys. And people will remember, if you've seen it or if you haven't seen it, why not revisit it? And, well, why not just make it a start this year and watch it? It's wonderful, because the clip we're going to play is actually George joyfully running through the streets of Bedford Falls shouting, "Merry Christmas."
Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas, George!
Merry Christmas, movie house! Merry Christmas, Emporium! Merry Christmas, you wonderful old Billy and Lone!
Hey! Merry Christmas, Mr. Potter!
Happy New Year to you! In jail! Go on home! Waiting for you.
My goodness, I remember that scene indeed. The snow,
yes, because people think, how did they get it so snowy then? When actually it was used in mixing Fomite soap and water instead of the traditional cornflakes painted white. I never knew they painted cornflakes, but anyway, there you go. I mean, it's a really wonderful film, because James Stewart, a phenomenal actor of that era and time, was reluctant to take the role, actually, in fact, because he just returned from World War II, so was fearful he couldn't handle that emotional role, but he did indeed. It was absolutely
And there's a scene where the high school dance opens up to reveal a swimming pool. Was
yes.
that real, or they didn't have CGI in
they
those
did
days.
Not have CGI. So the gym floor in the famous high school dance really did open to reveal a swimming pool, and it was filmed at the Beverly Hills High School. So many great behind the scenes dramas as well, but we'll get them again.
Let's move on to White Christmas from 1954.
Well, listen, if you haven't seen this, where have you been? Bing Crosby, Rosemary Clooney, and the dazzling musical numbers. Everybody knows they must see it when they're having their Christmas dinner. White Christmas, one of those beautiful songs, Christmas songs. It's a musical extravaganza. And really, Danny Kaye, whom I love, I think he doesn't get enough recognition in the film. It's a tale of romance and friendship, kind of centred around the struggling Vermont Inn during the holidays. And there's beautiful costumes. And the film's highlight is Irving Berlin's timeless song, which is White Christmas. But the stunning Technicolor really stands out for me. 1954, here with this one.
I wanted to be in it with Bing Crosby. I wanted to be in a picture that was named White Christmas because it was the best-selling record of all times. It was an Irving Berlin score. I knew that possibly, I'd get a song out of it. I knew I'd get to meet Irving Berlin.
Doesn't that put you in the Christmas mood?
And Rosemary Clooney talking there, but she wasn't, even though she's a great singer, was not the singer on the soundtrack.
No, she wasn't actually, in fact. You know, there's many wonderful parts about White Christmas that people don't even know about because, you know, it debuted in Holiday Inn, White Christmas. Bing Crosby was absolutely pedantic about making sure that his notes and his beats were right, so much so that he was obsessive. And Rosemary Clooney there, sorry, I didn't introduce who she was in case people didn't know, actually George Clooney's auntie. But she really said that it was difficult working with Bing Crosby in White Christmas because of his nature of being completely paranoid about getting everything right. Johnny Kay wasn't the first choice of the role. He was actually offered to Fred Astaire, who both had work commitments and weren't available. But Rosemary Clooney, yes, it was actually the singing voice of Vera Ellen, who was dubbed by singer Trudy Stevens.
Now, we want to move on to back to 1947. And Miracle on 34th Street.
Now, this has been done a long time and done with many other kind of versions and visions of it. But it's the classic heartwarming story about the Santa who may be the real deal. It follows Kris Kringle, the department store Santa, who must prove he is, of course, the real deal in the court of law. I'm sure everyone has seen the more recent versions in 1990. But it won 3 Academy Awards, including Best Supporting Actor for Edmund Gwenn as Kris Kringle, and remains one of the most iconic films ever made. The courtroom scene where Santa's letters are delivered proves that Kris Kringle really is real. But here's a lovely moment from the movie itself.
Would you please tell her that you're not really Santa Claus? That there actually is no such person?
Well, I'm sorry to disagree with you, Mrs. Walker, but not only is there such a person, but here I am to prove it.
No, no, no. You misunderstand. I want you to tell her the truth. What's your name?
Kris Kringle.
I'll bet you're in the first grade.
Second.
I mean your real name.
That is my real name.
Second grade?
It's a progressive school.
Oh, it's a progressive school.
May I have this gentleman's employment card, please?
Yes, Mrs. Walker.
This dress is very cute. Where did you get such a lovely outfit?
Here at Macy's. We get 10% off.
Please don't feel that you have to keep pretending for Susan's benefit. She's a very intelligent child and always wants to know the absolute truth.
Good, because I always tell the absolute truth. Now, about your school, what's the name of your teacher?
Charming. And that's back in 1947.
Back in 1947. That was Natalie Wood who plays the young Susan, and she was in awe of Kris Kringle and obviously the heartwarming story that it is. But it's all magical. It's about belief and kindness and, of course, the spirit of Christmas.
Now, back again further to 1939 and one of my favourite movies. It's not about Christmas, but we all watch it at Christmas.
Oh, it's the reasons that it is Christmas all over for me. Wizard of Oz. I mean, so much talk about it already now with the musical that's on stage at the moment. But I think because it was started in the 1950s, really became that TV holiday classic in the United States. And that's what gave it, you know, the purpose around Thanksgiving and Christmas in America. But the themes of No Place Like Home, it resonates deeply with all of us because not only the spirit of family and togetherness, but its atmosphere, the whimsical world of Oz.
I can remember seeing it as a child and that moment when the black and white changes to colour once Dorothy lands in Oz. Oh. It's multicoloured, whereas Kansas is in black and white.
It's magical. And I know, Pat, this is one of your favourites.
Yeah, and my favourite character in all of this is the lion, the cowardly lion.
Now, a nod to you. I put this in especially for you. Have a listen.
Here, here. Go away and let us alone.
Oh, scared, huh? Afraid, huh? How long can you stay fresh in that can? Come on, get up and fight, you shivering junkyard. Put your hands up, you lopsided bag of hay.
Now, that's getting personal, Lion.
Yes, get up and teach him a lesson.
Well, what's wrong with you teaching him?
Well, I hardly know him.
Well, I'll get you anyway, Pee-wee.
Shame on you!
What did you do that for? I didn't buy them.
No, but you tried to. It's bad enough picking on a straw man, but when you go around picking on poor little dogs...
Well, you didn't have to go and hit me, did you? Is my nose bleeding?
Well, of course not. My goodness, what a fuss you're making. Well, naturally, when you go around picking on things weaker than you are, why, you're nothing but a great big coward.
You're right, I am a coward.
Aww.
Oh, terrific, terrific scene. And his song then, If I Were King of the Jungle. Yeah, great song. Anyway, there's loads of trivia about this.
Yeah.
Over the Rainbow, the iconic song from the movie, almost
got cut. Can you believe it? Yeah, because basically they thought it slowed the pace of the movie, but it won, of course, an Academy Award for Best Original Song, and everybody sings it in every audition, as far as I know. But the Ruby Slippers were originally silver, by the way. It was only the fact that the advantage of the Technicolor actually was so vibrant in the palette, they decided to change them to red. And God, they wouldn't have been right when they were silver. Judy Garland almost lost the role out to Shirley Temple because she was considered. Garland was a little bit old for the part. You know, she was 15, 16 when she should have been a little bit younger. But everybody knows, I think, now about the toxic makeup and the costumes. So many people ended up very unwell. Tin Man, particularly, with the aluminium powder. It caused him severe respiratory issues as well. But, you know, aside from all the things that went wrong, it's one of the most beautiful films ever crafted. And, you know, when you think of the Wicked Witch, although she's scary, she was cut short because people found her a little bit too frightening. But, I mean, the symbolic ending of Kansas and There Is No Place Like Home resonates with everyone at Christmas.
And the snow was asbestos dust.
It was indeed. Well, you have to think about when it was and at that particular time. They didn't realise that the toxicity of the product was...
Now, one of the stars of the show is a dog, Toto.
Toto,
And
yes.
Also, in minor parts, we have the Munchkins.
We have the Munchkins as well. But actually, the actors playing the Munchkins earned $50 per week, while the dog played by Toto earned $125.
The dog was paid more than each Munchkin.
It was paid more than each Munchkin. Isn't that disgraceful? But actually, despite its iconic status, it kind of underperformed at the box office, but became a true classic after 1956. One of my all-time favourites as well. Absolutely.
Fantastic stuff. And we'll watch all of those over Christmas and many more. Lisa Cannon, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
On News Talk.